through the summer. We're going to be looking at a guy by the name of Simeon. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And, you know, Simeon was the man which we're going to look at today, and we're going to see how that we as Christians need to live our lives so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit just like he was and have a life which is full and can be used by God. You know, we don't know a lot about this man prior to the account that we're going to be looking at today, but we don't know if he had a family or if he was living alone now. We have really no history of him before this time period, but many people in the Bible, we really don't have a lot of history of their family. It's just that they were listed in the Bible, you know, and what they did at that time period. And basically, Simeon is the same way. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35 today. And I'm going to read that real quick. But it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Anyway, here we see, I want to look at Simeon today, and there was a man called Simeon. Now, there are many who feel that he was a very important man of the day. He may have been a high priest at some time, or he may have held a high position in the Sanhedrin. We aren't really told, but this was a man of honor because of the word, behold, at the start of the verse. Now, when we see the word behold, we need to realize that it's for a specific purpose of this word. Now, we need to realize that this was just no ordinary man. He was able to come into the temple, and he was able to go up to the priest, the high priest, because they were going to take and they were going to do the custom to Jesus. They were going to circumcise him and everything, and he went right up there. You know, he didn't wasn't encouraged to come up, but he had access to the altar. And so this was a very high, honored man. But he was also just and devout. The word just and devout in both Hebrew and Greek mean righteous. Here we see a righteous man before God. We need men who are righteous, who will look to God for all their guidance, who will stand in the gap and say, thus saith the Lord. We need men who will, above everything else, will serve the Lord. This man was not a priest at this time. This man was not a preacher at this time. But this man was righteous before a living God. You know, we need righteous people in our churches. We need righteous people that live every day. You know, more than likely, he went to church when the church doors are open. He may have taken his family to church, if he had a family, when he went to church, because he wanted them to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, we need righteous people today who are just and devout and will stand up for the what is right instead of going along with the crowd. You know, it's easy to listen to our children and do as they want, isn't it? You know, I know all of us have had children in here, except for Noah and Tatum. How's your shoulder today, Tatum? Is it black and blue? Not yet? Are you sure? All right. Tatum. Huh? You're from shooting the 22? Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Well, see, when you do something that you're not used to, sometimes it does that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know it. But, yeah, Tatum shot a 20-gauge yesterday for the first time. And it was a little red yesterday, but it'll get better. After it turned black and blue a couple times, it'll get better. Right, Tatum? Yeah. But we had a good time out there yesterday. But, you know, what we need is what's happening in our society today is this. We have parents who want to be friends with their kids instead of being parents. You know, we have parents who think, well, if I'm not a friend with my teenager, then, you know, they aren't going to like me. Well, you know, I don't care, and I've preached this many times. We need parents to be parents because the kids can get friends at school. They can get friends anywhere, but they've only got one set of parents. Parents should be parents. Do you know why I feel that parents want to be friends with their teenagers? Do you know why I feel that parents want to be friends with their teenagers instead of being parents? No, because they don't want to get old themselves. They don't want to get old. You know, let's face it. When your teenagers are teenagers and they're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, you know, especially women are going, well, you know what, I want to be just like them. You know, I want to do the same thing. After all, I'm only in my 30s or 40s. I can take and dress like they do. I can go the places they do and everything else. I don't want to grow old. I want to be just like they are. And I mean, I see this over and over and over and over and over and over in our church, believe it or not. I can tell you time and time. When I was growing up, when I was a teenager, there was a lady by the name of Pat, and she was in this realm. She didn't want to grow old. When she was in her 50s, she was still wearing platform shoes and mini skirts and everything else. 50 years old, because she did not want to get old. She wanted to stay young like the teenagers. Well, you know what? When I hit the age of 40, I thought to myself, I'm getting old. And I started acting that way. You know, well, I didn't really act that way all the time. But I did act it sometimes because I still run around with the teenagers and I still, you know, have fun with them and stuff. But, you know, now that I'm 60 plus, why, you know, I say to myself, you know what, I'm getting old. But yet I still like to have fun with the teenagers. I still like doing things with them, but I don't want to be a teenager. I would rather be their pastor than their good friend. I would rather give them good godly advice than to take and be their pal. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what we need in parents today, is parents that will give parental advice to children and say, you know what, I'm the parent, you're going to listen to what I say and do what I want you to, because I am the parent. But that isn't the way it is in our society today. You know, we have too many parents who want to be friends, And, you know, let's face it, isn't it easier to give in to a child's want than to fight with them? Huh? Oh, yeah, exactly. You bet they know it. I mean, you know, why do I want to take and have any controversy when I can just say, okay, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Just do whatever you want. Go ahead. And then, you know, everything is fine and dandy. You know, I get the biggest kick out of parents sometimes. I was at a house one day, soul winning, and this woman was just having a terrible time with her teenager. And finally she says, "You go to your room and you stay there." They said, "Fine." They turned around, went into their room. And I said to the woman, I said, "What have they got in their room?" And she goes, "Why?" I said, "Well, what do they have in their room?" And she goes, "Well, they have a television in there. They have a computer in there. They have a small refrigerator in there with drinks in it. They have Xbox. I looked at her and I said, "Can I go to their room?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "That is not punishment. That isn't punishment. Oh, go to your room. Okay, I will." You know, and they're on the computer, they're playing Xbox, they're doing everything they wanted to do in the beginning. That's not punishment. You know, my dad, bless his heart, had a very good golden rule, and this is what it was. You do as I say, or else. Now, the "or else" only meant one thing. That was a spanking. And it was not fun to get a spanking. So the "or else," when he says, "Either you do this or else," I knew that I better do it or else his wrath was going to come upon me. But you know, we need parents who will take and stand up to what they say and do it. Second thing is this: he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation here means Messiah. He was waiting for the King of Kings to be born. He was not waiting to win the lottery. He was waiting for something to happen which would change the world. He was looking for the Son of God to be born. He had waited for his whole lifetime for the event to happen. We need to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we need people who are looking up for one day he is going to return in the cloud just as he left, and he'll receive us up. Now, what we need to realize is this: he was looking for something in the future. What do we need to be looking forward to? The rapture of the church. Amen. And you know what? I believe Brother Echols and I were just talking about this a little bit this morning. I watched a it was like a documentary movie this last weekend. It's called Revelation. The only way you can watch this is on the internet, and you have to go in and subscribe to it and things. But what it is, it was talking about where we were, where we've been, and where we're heading for. And the guys that one of them that was one of the commentators in there was Charlie Daniels, and I don't think a lot of Charlie Daniels, but then again, you know, but he did such a good job in the history of the United States, and they went all the way back to George Washington. They went all the way through the Declaration of Independence, went all the way through the Constitution, and one thing that was said that, believe it or not, I knew it, but I kind of forgot about it. Do you know that the separation of church and state is not in the Constitution? Madison. Yep, Madison is the one who, it was a proclamation by him, and it was never put into law. But yet everybody says, well, we have to have a separation of church and state. It's nowhere in the law. Nowhere. And but they go into this in depth. And, they go into say who, and they name names of who is in control of all of the finance or money worldwide. Right now, believe it or not, we are in a global economy. Even though people don't want to think we are in a global economy. The next thing is a one world leader, which will be the Antichrist. We already have, and Brother Echols and I, we were talking about this, the false prophet that's mentioned in the book of Revelation is already in the world. And I believe the Antichrist is already in the world also. And we just don't know who it is yet. But the false prophet, you know, I believe fully, 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is the Pope that's sitting on the Catholic Church right now. And the reason I say that is this. He is the first Pope that has ever been to every country in the world. Not once, but twice. And people are listening to what he has to say. And the reason they are is because Satan is putting a veil over their eyes so that they cannot see what's going to be coming. As soon as the rapture comes, now just think about this for just a minute. I'm off my Sunday school lesson a little bit, but I feel it's important. But once the rapture comes, all of a sudden there's going to be global chaos. I mean, just total global chaos. And that's when the Antichrist is going to step in. And he's going to take and bring peace to the world. And I believe that he's in the world right now. And everybody is going to know him, and they're going to follow him because of who he is. The second thing is this. Is there? Yes, ma'am. Right. 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 Exactly. But once the rapture comes, okay, the Christians will be taken out. So people like me are going to be gone. So your world spiritual leaders will be gone. All right? Who are they going to follow? They're going to want to follow a man. So guess who is the spiritual leader? The Pope. And everyone will follow him and do what he wants them to do spiritually, even though he is a false prophet. Now, you know, people say to me, well, you're really drawing at straws here. No, I'm not. I really and truly believe this. And that was one of the things that was brought up in this movie, was that the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist are already in the world. And I believe that totally. And one of the things that I'm really watching closely is this going on over in Israel right now between Gaza and Israel. And Netanyahu tweeted yesterday, that it looks like they're going to be in an all-scale war over there very shortly between the Hamas and Israel. And yeah. So what I'm looking at, okay, we got to realize that the Hamas is backed by Russia. The Hamas is backed by Russia. Okay, who backs Israel right now? We do. Okay, so what it's going to be is this could be the thing that's going to take and trip the rapture. Or this could be the last part to where the rapture is going to happen. You know, I've been preaching this for 5 years, that I believe that the rapture is going to happen in my lifetime. I believe that I will not die, that I will be raptured out. And I'm 65 this year, so that means that it's going to have to come soon. But I really and truly believe that I'm going to be raptured out, that I'm not going to see death. And I really am looking, you know, and watching to see what's happening. Because everything is right now together for a one world government. Everything is. In fact, if you look at the United States, we are. Did you know that the United States is set up into 10 districts with 10 governors? Did you know that? And these 10 governors only report back to the president. The 10 governors only report back to the president. What's that? Yeah. And what it is that if they would ever go into martial law, which they could very easily, these 10 governors will have control over their 10 areas in the United States, and they will be the ones that call the shots for all law enforcement and all military in that area. The governor of the United, or governor of Arizona doesn't mean squat, because these 10 governors will take their orders from the president. And right. And we need to take and understand that no longer do we have a government for the people by the people, but we have a government by the government for the government. And so we need to take and we need to be conscious of that. But the next thing was this. The Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, it was different before Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Spirit was not upon everyone. He was only upon those that were righteous. Now, here we see the Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. He had spiritual power that most people of that time period may not have had. In order for him to have the Holy Ghost upon him, he had to keep the law of Moses. Now, after Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." If we have accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, He will take and show us what we need to do. You know, I believe that this man, Simeon, is now in heaven because of what God allowed him to do, and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. But now, Simeon had immortality. Look at verse 26. It says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, here we see that he was immortal. He couldn't die. Wow. He could not die. You know, God had promised him that he would not die until he saw the Lord. And if Jesus had not been born, he would still be living. Think about that. If Jesus would not have been born, he would still be living, because God promised him that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. Now, God can't lie, and what he wants for someone's life, he allowed to happen. You know, in the days of Noah, people lived anywhere from 700 to 900 years, and if God wanted Simeon to live on and on and on and on, he would have done that. You know, and that's what would happen to him. You know, here was Simeon, an old man, but yet he was immortal. Yes. So, how much of the Jews still don't believe the Savior is coming? What's that? Well, Simeon believed it. Well, yeah. Well, see, you got to understand. Back in was Isaiah, God put a veil over the Israelites' eyes. Put a veil over them so that they could not see the Messiah come.
So basically, it depends on the word of God. It means there's 2,000 years, and there's a guy now living 2,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm serious.
You know what I mean, though?
Let's take a look at the people in the Bible. How old was Methuselah? Almost 1,000 years old. Now, God could have had somebody else live another 1,000 years. Yeah. Well, I realize that, but with God, anything's possible, right?
True.
All right, the fourth thing is this. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit in verse 27. You know, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And I find this very interesting. It says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do that, which was custom after the law. Now, this had to be very important because, what did I do here? There we go. Because him being filled with the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple led by the Holy Spirit. He didn't just walk in off the whim. I don't believe that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple on the Sabbath day. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is, how old did Jesus have to be when he was circumcised? Huh?
8 days
old. And it had to be 8 days. So if 8 days landed on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, guess what? They had to have them there Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, instead of a Sabbath day, which would have been Saturday. So here we see that it was probably during the week that they brought him to be circumcised. Well, all of a sudden, here comes Simeon, and he's being led by the Spirit into the temple on a day that it was not to be worshipped yet. I mean, I find that very, very interesting. You know, this had to be very godly man to be led to the Spirit on a church on a day that there was no church. You know, there are not many people today who are led by the Spirit to come to church at all. Period. You know, if you look at our churches across the nation today, there are not many people who are led by the Spirit to come to church on the Lord's Day. You know, in fact, most people, if they're led by the Spirit to come to church, will stay away because they feel that they have more important things to do than to come worship God. They do. After all, it's going to be 109 degrees today. It'd be better to be on the lake with a boat, wouldn't it? Right? It's cool on the lake. You know, I was talking to my daughter and son-in-law this morning, and I said, well, I said, did you take the boat out yesterday? They go, yeah, they bought a boat. And I said, well, did you have fun? They go, oh, man, we just had a blast. And I said, well, what are you doing today? Well, what do you think, Dad? We're going to church. Scott's already on the bus route picking up kids for Sunday school and church. She says, I just made breakfast for our Sunday school class. She says, we're going to church. That's what Sunday's for. You know? And, I mean, they just bought a brand new boat. And they only get 2 days off a week, Saturday and Sunday. But yet Sunday is used for the Lord's Day. You know, this is what I find so interesting about my daughter and my son-in-law. Both of them work at the church. They're employed at the church. My daughter is a chief financial officer for the church, the school, the bus routes, the radio stations, and the rescue mission downtown Atlanta. And they're at church all the time. They're at church every single day, Monday through Friday. They're at church. And people say to them, they go, well, you're here 5 days a week. Why don't you take the other 2 days off? Scott says, we do. We take Saturday off, and we use it for bus calling and family time. Every Saturday morning, they go out bus calling. Every Saturday morning, they go out and make sure there's kids coming on that bus on Sunday morning. Then afterwards, they go hook up the boat and they go to the lake. They spend the rest of the day on the lake. They come home Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Scott gets up at 5:30 in the morning, goes over, gets the bus, takes off, goes pick up a load of kids, brings them in Sunday school and church. They go, why do you do that? You're here all week long. Why do you do that? Because Sunday is the day that we give to the Lord. We work the other five, but Sunday is the day that we give to the Lord. And, you know, I really believe that that God appreciates and he'll bless us for that. Because look at verse 28. It says, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, here we see that God he blesses God. You know, I don't know if Mary and Joseph knew who Simeon was beforehand. However, he took the baby of 8 days old from his mother. Most mothers would have a little problem with this. After all, mama's a mama bear. And they usually don't like to have people just take their kids out of their arms, especially old people, because they might drop them. But he raised the child in the air and gave thanks to God for what he had allowed to see before he died. You know, many times, how many times are we thankful for our children and their parents? You know, we're such an ungrateful bunch of people that we don't give God thanks for everything that he's given us. You know, we feel he owes us all that we have, and we are so ungrateful for what he's done for us. Here we see a man who had no relationship with Mary and Joseph whatsoever, and yet he raised the little baby up and gave glory to God for what he was seeing. But you know, he gives glory to God for his son in verses 29 to 32. You know, he says, I can now depart. He said, he can now die because he has seen what God had promised him to see. You know, notice Simeon was a Jew. However, he realized that Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world, and not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Now, if it were not for this little baby, we could not have eternal life. But Simeon prophesied the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord in verses 34 and 35. He's going to have a fall, which meant that he was going to die. He's going to rise again, which meant he was going to be resurrected from the dead. A sword will pierce his side, and many will see what his people did to him. This prophecy came true 33 years after it was made. But God had put Simeon on Simeon's heart that he should know the future for this little baby, even though the baby is only 8 days old. You know, when we're living a life close to the Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit and living the way God wants us to, we also are going to see things a lot more clearly than what we would otherwise. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that all of us need to do everything that we can for the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson. I pray now that we might be able to use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to be starting church in about 10 minutes.